Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It's Timothy's instructions on worship. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles.
Now our gospel lesson today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Hear these words. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master has taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, 'How much do you owe the master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, 'And how much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcome into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little will be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Jesus was probably one of the greatest storytellers in history. And we're told that he told many stories to his disciples, other people, as he was going on through his earthly ministry. And today, our passage in Luke, kind of called the parable of the shrewd manager, is one of those stories that we hear that Jesus told, and we kind of walk away from and say, what exactly did he mean? I'll be honest with you, a lot of preachers, when this comes up in the lectionary, the readings of the earth, they'll want to skip over this because it just doesn't clear what Jesus is trying to say by condoning a dishonest manager. And so, my friends, I think this morning that this warrants our attention. It's a little bit of background, first of all. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't always tell us things about good people. He tells us things that have gone wrong with people who have been not so good. And as we know, this shrewd manager was somebody who was kind of bad to the bone. But even through the worst of situations, Jesus finds a way to point things out to us and teach things to us. You know, it's real interesting because he cared very, very less about where we're from, our pedigree, our heritage, but he always focused on where we're going, in our future, in our salvation. And so before he is talking about this to his disciples, he kind of talks about people who do bad things and yet kind of turn things around. The disciples at first were kind of a little weary about this kind of a talk, because in those days when Jesus was there, he had his followers, and then there were people that would preach or say things in his name, and the disciples kind of got a little upset and went to him. And Jesus says this to them, "Master, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he's not one of us." And Jesus says this, "Don't stop him." Jesus said, "For whoever is not against you is for you." Kind of perplexing to getting the disciples in a frame of mind that sometimes his word and his message is going to come from some unconventional ways. We also hear this from Paul as after the death of Jesus, when Paul was preaching the gospel and trying to teach things about Jesus, his followers were kind of getting upset because of some of the false people that were saying things about God. And in Philippians, we see this. "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing that is in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice." And you know, when I reflected on that scripture, I thought we need to preach this parable of the shrewd manager. So let's kind of take some what ifs, or maybe what this parable is all about. Well, we're told that a boss goes to his manager and says, "You know, you have been corrupt. You've been cooking the books. You no longer have a job. You're fired." And that manager obviously panics. And what does he say? He says, "I can't do manual labor. I can't do it. And what else? And I'm not the type of person to beg." Yeah, to beg. Wow, and it puts him in a really awkward spot. And we're told that what he does then do is he goes to the debtors, the people that owe money to the boss, and he cuts their debts in half. And when it's all said and done, we're told that he was commended for doing so. So what really is this parable all about? Well, here's one option. One option would be, maybe it's a parable about forgiveness. You know, that seems to be a common theme in Luke. And Jesus is condoning this because this manager forgave debts. And Jesus was all about forgiving debts no matter what that was. It's interesting in the book of Luke, the passage that comes right before this is the prodigal son. So we get that whole thing of forgiveness, unconditional forgiveness of someone who has done wrong to us or abandoned us. So forgiveness is one. The other one that's very popular is maybe this is a passage about money. Right after this passage in the gospel, Luke goes on to say many, many things about money. So maybe it has something to do with worldly wealth and gain and what we can be trusted with and what we can't be trusted with. Maybe the message is summed up in that last two lines of scripture where it says, you can't serve God and money. Those two things can't go together. But what I want to propose today is what this passage really may be proclaiming is this. That manager who was about to be fired, who was fired, who was about to lose his job, that manager acted, and Jesus uses the word, shrewdly. Shrewdly. Because people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with themselves than people of the light. What that manager did was, he did something about his situation. He just didn't wait. He just didn't hold back. He knew he was in a bad situation, and he took immediate action. Now, Jesus was not praising dishonesty. But if you think about this man's ingenuity and initiative, the man took care of himself and got out of a tight situation. He didn't spend time beating up on himself, what shall I do, what shall I do? Or neither did he spend his whole time praying. But he took some actions on his own that were going to rectify his situation. And we see that Jesus kind of condones this. And I believe that God allows us to do things ourselves that we're capable of doing to get ourselves into a better situation in a better light. And people are more shrewd in dealing with things of this earth than they are of heaven. So if you think about it, what Jesus is really saying here is there are things in this world that we could be shrewd about. But when it comes to spiritual things, sometimes we become timid. Sometimes we become shy. Sometimes we back ourselves into a corner where all we do is pray and pray and pray and pray. And what God is asking us to is to take the next step forward and move on and get ourselves out of the situation we're in into a good one. You know, it's important to remember who Jesus is directing this parable to. It's not the Pharisees, it's not the scribes this time. It's to his disciples. He's speaking to those closest to him. And I think what he's saying to them is, I think you folks need to be more than nice guys. You need to be those types of people that are going to go out there. That if you're going to proclaim me and my kingdom, that you're going to go out there in a shrewd manner and you're going to reach people in any and every way that you can think about. And so then he makes that thing back to the manager, and the thing back to the manager as he says, that person really took care of what he was doing. And then we get these things from Jesus about, you know, about how doing that is so important. You know, when I grew up, my grandma had this saying. It was called, work like a Dickens. Ever hear that saying? Boy, she works like a Dickens. What is the Dickens? I never knew that. Anybody? It's not the Dickens the author, that's for sure. Yeah? You are called the little Dickens. Whoa, all right. Work like the Dickens. It meant you were busy, and that's what it meant. It means that you're busy, but work like the Dickens. What's that a reference to? Anyone else? Well, when it was finally explained to me, work like the Dickens meant work like the devil. Busy. There's one thing we learn in Scripture, and if there's one thing we can learn about this world is the devil is here and at work and will work and works tirelessly. You know, sometimes we forget that. That the forces of evil in this world they don't hold back. They just run right into things. They'll do whatever they can do. And I believe that Satan sometimes will do whatever he can do to kind of get under our skin, and whatever he can do to kind of distance us from God, and whatever he can do to ruin our marriages and ruin our relationships, he'll work in and through us that way. And so that work like the Dickens, I kind of turn that around, and I think God is asking us to be shrewder than the Dickens. God is asking us to step out boldly and to do his will and work, not apathetically, but with that source inside of us that needs to make things right. Now, if you've ever lost a job, if you've ever been laid off, if you've ever been fired, you know what that feeling's like. It's a very, very scary feeling. It's a very, and one of the things I hate to do is a lot of times I get called in when that happens to people. And so I get to sit with them after they know they've either been terminated or severanced. And it is a crushing thing to experience. I don't care how old you are, what age you are, what situation. It's just a crushing thing to experience. But this manager, instead of wallowing in his grief and anxiety and fear, he got out there and made some inroads and made things work out. And I guess what Jesus is saying to the disciples today is, if people of the world can act that way with worldly things, people of the kingdom, people of light, should be just like that and much better in our attitude, in our initiative of following him and making his kingdom come. Jesus wasn't commending the manager for his deceit, but he was commending him for his future decision-making and energy. And I believe that Jesus wants us to be sold out, but not sold out to evil, but sold out to righteousness, sold out to justice, sold out to love, and sold out to peace, so we change the world. You see, this parable is not about working the system. It's about a system that doesn't work. And Jesus knows this. And he's trying to encourage his followers, his believers, because Jesus knew how shrewd others were in this world. And Jesus knew that as we live in this world, we're going to be surrounded by brokenness. We're going to be surrounded by temptation. And so if you say Jesus is kind of using this passage, in my estimation, to kind of coach us, to empower us, to cheer us on, so that we too would be shrewd and act shrewdly in what he's given us in the kingdom. That our characters may be such that we're persistent for his cause. That we deeply in our hearts follow his word and his love. And that we're aware that as we maneuver this, that we must be careful about evil around us and place God's hedge of protection upon ourselves and upon each other. And that's really important. Because one thing we can do is pray daily that God's hedge of protection goes around ourselves and around others. That's what builds the kingdom of God and preserves us and sustains us. You know, Billy Graham said these words. He said, you know, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. But when your character, your drive is lost, all is lost. As we look at this parable, maybe it has some things to teach us about forgiveness. Maybe there are some things really viable here about money But I think today this parable is about action. And it's about going from turning inward to being an outward people. To his disciples who maybe wanted to stay close to him, but he really wanted to push them further. And yet, you know, when we've been burned by someone or something, when we've been burned, we are apprehensive, don't we? We kind of pull back. If you've been burned in a relationship, you somehow develop that anxiety to it. And when something, even close to that, you kind of pull back. If you've been burned financially, you're not going to risk anymore. And Jesus is saying that in him and through him, we can overcome all this. When we get our focus outside of ourselves to other people. And taking that initiative and doing what God has equipped us to do and being the people that God calls us to be. But like I said, our human condition is kind of a little bit different. I want to end with a short parable. There was a rabbi and a very rich older gentleman. And this older gentleman felt that there was nothing that he could do. He was always in the state of anxiety over his possessions and his world. And really kind of did nothing to help himself or help his faith or help his belief. Rabbi took him over to the window and said, "What do you see?" And he said, "Well, this is a pane of glass. And what do you see out there?" "Well, I see people. I see men, I see women, I see children. I see poor. I see the lame. I see those who are on the fringe of society." And then he gave him the mirror. And he said, "Now look at this." The man said, "Well, it's a mirror." The rabbi said to him, "When you look through the glass, you could see all the needs that were out there. But on this mirror, when you put on top of glass a layer of silver, all you can see is yourself." And so whether it is ambition, whether it is money, whether it is a myriad of other things, in this parable today, God calls us to put the mirror down and start looking through the glass. I pray that today, as we leave this place, that maybe this message and this scripture would fester in your heart. Because I believe God has wonderful and beautiful things for each and every one of your lives. I believe God has blessings to bestow on you that you can't even begin to imagine. But like Sandy said to the kids today, we've got to invite others and we've got to invite him, and then we've got to take the action to get the party going. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for Scripture. We thank you for these difficult Scriptures that you put around us. Lord, we know that you call us to action. We know that you are a God of love and salvation. And God, we just ask your hedge of protection as we can't be blind that Satan is in this world and will tempt us and will try to ruin things for us. But God, you call us to be shrewd. I love that word, Lord, shrewd, cunning in ways of the kingdom. And so if we do that, we know that we'll be connected to you and to your glory. And God, we just take this opportunity also to ask you to make some good things maybe out of the bad things that are going on in our lives. Lord, we're not perfect, you know that. But God, we know that you can transform even the worst of situations to your greater glory. Ask this in your most Holy Spirit. Amen.